Thank you, Pam. And now we are reconvening as the Portland City Council.
We need another roll call.
I don't know. Do we need another roll call as a reconvened body? We probably do.
We should, because
why don't you call the
roll
just to be on the safe side, just so people don't say we were never here.
Fish?
Aye. We're here, excuse me.
Feltzman?
Here.
Udaly? Fritz?
Still here.
Wheeler?
Here, and aye. All right, good. The one and last remaining item.
Okay. Item 518, Work System Inc. update on workforce development activities presentation.
Very good. So with that, I will call up our friends from Work Systems Inc. who are going to update us on some of the fantastic work they've done. This is directly related to the work, of course, of Prosper Portland as well. This is a strong partnership, a regional partnership that we're engaged in and heavily involved in. And by agreement previously, I'll turn this over to the Director of Work Systems, and he can tee us off. And if you could all just re-identify yourself for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. For the record, Andrew McGough, Director of Work Systems.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Chang with the Portland Housing Bureau. Oh, sure. So I'll start off. So good afternoon, Mayor and City Commissioners. We're pleased to share the outcomes and personal stories of the Economic Opportunity Program, or EOP, in promoting employment and career advancement opportunities for very low-income households in Portland. The program started in 2004 as part of the city's broader strategic plan for reducing poverty through economic opportunity. EOP has an annual budget of about $2.7 million, which is a combination of both city general funds and federal community development block grants that are administered through the Housing Bureau. Prosper Portland, formerly Portland Development Commission, oversees the program and aligns the workforce resources with their economic growth and neighborhood prosperity initiatives. And Work Systems, which serves as our local workforce investment board, administers the services through dozens of partnerships with community-based employment providers. EOP provides critical support for families and individuals to gain income and increase their earning potential, which enables them to secure and maintain stable housing. Through the work of A Home for Everyone in recent years, we've been able to invest additional resources to increase the program's capacity to particularly focus on serving more people who are experiencing homelessness or at imminent risk of losing their housing. By the end of this current fiscal year, we anticipate serving at least 300 additional households who are homeless or at risk of homelessness through some very strategic connected employment, housing, and culturally specific services that have been available through Home for Everyone and the Bureau. So thank you for investing in this important program. It really effectively leverages federal and local resources to promote economic opportunities for households in Portland. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Kimberly and Andrew to speak more about how the interagency partnership is effectively working.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'm Kimberly Branham, Executive Director at Prosper Portland. Really pleased to be here today to talk about what is a story of effective collaboration and alignment and impact. And you're going to hear some stories later today about what that means on the ground. But from an institution to institution level, I think we're really pleased to have such deep collaboration and connections between the Portland Housing Bureau, Prosper Portland, and Work Systems. So as you know, Prosper Portland is focused on increasing access to quality employment as well as advancing opportunities for prosperity, collaborating with partners for an equitable city, and creating vibrant neighborhoods. We rely on many partnerships to increase access to quality jobs, and workforce development is truly a critical component of ensuring individuals have the access and skills they need to find meaningful employment. Prosper Portland's workforce investments aim to connect people of color and low-income residents to high-quality job opportunities and career tracks. We do this by working closely with our neighborhood and community and higher education partners, as well as our target industry employers, and, of course, with work systems. Together, we're finding ways to most effectively connect people to job opportunities. So together, we're collaborating with our nonprofit partners to ensure equitable opportunities and access. For example, Southeast Works provides employment and referral services directly to job seekers at the Rosewood Community Center, which is a Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative district. Together, we're influencing business behavior to align with our inclusive economic growth priorities. Through the Tech Town Diversity Pledge, Prosper Portland convenes 22 companies to participate in collective actions such as equity trainings, data tracking, and peer-to-peer learning opportunities. These companies employ more than 2,000 employees who will benefit from actions to facilitate an inclusive company culture. Together, we're aligning services supported by our funding with career pathways towards living wage jobs. In the last 5 years, Prosper Portland has invested just over $500,000 in workforce training at enterprise zone participating companies, allowing more than 300 employees access to career growth and development opportunities. Together, we're connecting our physical investments with workforce investments by applying our equitable contracting policies and through initiatives like the Division Transit Project, where partners are committed to providing residents in the corridor with increased employment. And finally, we're strengthening our partnerships with work systems and providers to change how we collectively engage with diverse and historically underrepresented communities, where we're pivoting from an exclusive focus on anti-poverty to a broader focus on prosperity and going from just surviving to really thriving. And so that's the story that we hope you'll hear today.
Good afternoon. I'm Andrew Goff. I'm the Director of Work Systems and a proud partner in the Economic Opportunity Initiative. As Jennifer mentioned, this program has been around for quite a while, 2004 to be exact, and it's been evolving ever since. And I think really the important thing to take away from this, I think I've talked to you all a number of times before, is these are challenging times for large segments of our community, and the only way that we can solve those is by working together. And I think that this program really does demonstrate the institutional collaboration as well as the community collaboration that we need to really move people from poverty to prosperity. Have I said something funny?
No, Mr. Smoker, I just like, we're both distracted by the image here. What are we looking at there?
I think you're looking at people covered in clay. And my hope is that someone can be more explicit than that.
Well, that's a start.
But, I'm guessing this looks like that growler place. But it's amazing. It's a you know, it's out on Sandy, and it's a bunch of slackers created this growler place. And anyway, it may not be. But the bottom line is, I love what you said earlier, Commissioner Fish, and I think that I get the sense that the whole council realizes this is really about people. And ultimately, we think we will thrive if our people thrive. That economic development will come if we have the people that can help that kind of growth. And that's what this program is really about. And so without further ado, I'd like to hand it over to Patrick Gearing, who is our Chief Program Officer. And he'll walk us through this presentation and tell you what these guys are covered in.
Great. Yeah, excellent. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having us. I'm Patrick Gearing, Chief Program Officer at Work Systems, and I'm going to do a brief overview of the funding and the program. I think we lost the PowerPoint, but it's okay. Oh, we're good. So funding for the workforce development of the program, as Jennifer said, is about $2.7 million. Annually and serves about 1,100 Portlanders every year. The population served are low-income Portland residents. The eligibility requirement is that they're below 50% of median family income. Almost all of them, though, are below 30% of median family income. There's a programmatic focus on homeless, people at imminent risk of eviction, residents of public housing, ex-offenders, immigrants, and communities of color. City funding for this program supports career coaching provided by a network of 11 community-based partners, some of whom you'll hear from this afternoon. And the program design ties the strength of our community-based partners to the strengths and services and resources within the public workforce system, which Work Systems oversees. On top of this investment made by the city, Work Systems adds over $6 million in federal, state, and local services annually to serve more people and to enhance the services of this program. This includes about $2.5 million annually to increase the number of career coaches and the number of community-based organizations partnering within this program, $1.8 million for occupational training to support entry into high-growth career track occupations that are aligned with target sectors of Prosper Portland and Work Systems, $1.1 million in on-the-job trainings, paid internships, and other work-based learning opportunities, and a little over $500,000 in rent assistance, being a program that serves very low-income people. People are sometimes impacted by homelessness during the course of services, and they're able to complete their training and move into employment more effectively while housed. If you bring together the city funds as well as the additional resources brought to the table, the total program is about $8.7 million and serves about 1,500 Portlanders annually. So I want to thank you for the investment. We want to thank you for the investment made by the city in the Economic Opportunity Program. It makes it possible for us to secure these additional federal matching grants, federal competitive grants, state, local, and other resources for people of Portland.
Thanks, Patrick. I'm Stacy Triplett, Community Programs Manager for Work Systems. I'd like to talk about the population served, the partners, and the results that the EOP program is getting. The EOP community-based providers use their knowledge and expertise to serve specific populations with one-on-one individualized career coaching and occupational training in the community. Of course, much of the training is provided through a strong connection to WorkSource Portland Metro resources, which include training scholarships, paid work experiences, and placement support for career track jobs. The populations that we're referring to are homeless and housing insecure residents, 26% of our program in the past year, residents of subsidized housing, folks returning from incarceration, 30% of our participants report involvement with the community justice system, criminal justice system, immigrants and English language learners. 36% of our population is long-term unemployed. They've been looking for work for 27 weeks or more. That's a Bureau of Labor Statistics definition. 50% hold a high school diploma, GED, or less. 16% have completed some post-secondary education without a degree. So those are the populations, and a little bit more on the demographics. As you're familiar, communities of color are overrepresented in low-income populations. That's 54% of our participants. 22% identify as Latino, Latina, 22% African American. So that's a little bit more on who is served. In keeping with the priorities that we share that are set by Portland Housing Bureau, Prosper Portland, and Work Systems, all the participants are low income. They're defined as earning 50% of MFI or below. So for a family of four, that would be $36,750, more or less. I want to also talk about our partners. So that's who's served. Who's serving them are this list of partners you could see here. The contracted providers are Central City Concern, who was here today but had to leave, so I will introduce their testimony in written format.
Thank you.
Human Solutions, ERCO, you've heard Southeast Works already. Oregon Tradeswomen is a partner here. Constructing Hope and Self-Enhancement, Inc. Self-Enhancement does bring culturally specific services to the program. In addition, there's a network of youth-serving organizations that work with young adults. They're eligible to work starting at age 16. You'll hear more about that from our partner here. The youth network is being redesigned to laser focus on youth and or young adults who are not working and not in school, and to connect them to those in-demand occupations with employers in the targeted sectors that you've heard about: health careers, advanced manufacturing, construction, and IT software. POIC, you'll hear from today, is one of those youth providers in the network, as well as New Avenues for Youth, Portland Youth Builders, and Native American Youth and Family Center. So those are the partners in the EOP program. That partnership, that network, served over 400 low-income people. Almost 150 of those completed training for credentials that were recognized in their fields. 76% of those left employed at wages averaging over $13.50 an hour. And I want to kind of note here, averages don't always tell the full story. So $13.50 is one thing. But when you think about our population served, so the average wage is $13.50, or actually $13.78 for the last 12 months, something like that. But let's think about how it varies. For the 400 formerly chronically homeless folks that were served by Central City Concern, their average is $11.30, which is a real accomplishment for that population to connect with work and to get onto the path. For the 60 immigrants in the Professional Immigrant Credentialing Program, that average wage was $16.84. So really digging into the details of which populations have which results as part of what this program does. So now I need to focus on some of the additional people that are served. So the city population, or the city investment, through successful applications for competitive funding, has been able to grow to serve another 825 people within the city of Portland. So they were receiving the same one-on-one career coaching done in community-based organizations, but not funded by the first investment that the city made. The $6 million figure you heard about before is the result of Work Systems expansion efforts and the strength of the local network of providers. Federal Department of Labor grants, Health and Human Services Administration grant, and a USDA matching grant all increased the service that Prosper Portland invests in to more than double the impact. Multnomah County Department of Community Justice, Reentry Connector, where our participants are getting directly referred from parole officers, and, as you've heard before, the joint office, the city funds in the joint office from A Home for Everyone funds an extension of the EOP as well. That extension helps us to focus on homeless and housing insecure populations, and also it added the Urban League and El Programa Hispano Católico to the existing strong network of providers, which increase the culturally specific approaches to work with those communities of color who are in this program and seeking services and support. So I'd like to say the person, our testimony that we're introducing in writing would have been presented by Frida Caesar, who is the director of the Employment Access Center at Central City Concern. But instead now we'll hear from Joe McFerrin?
Yes.
I got it. For VOIC.
Very good. Yeah, and I just want to state again, thank you for your patience. Obviously, our budget hearing ran long, and so I know that's made your plan presentation more complicated, and I appreciate very much your flexibility. And Joe is great. We like him, so he'll do a fantastic job.
Thank you so much, Mayor and City Commissioner, City Council. I'll keep it short. But I will say it's nice.
Joe, I'm sorry for the record. You have to read your name in. Sorry.
Joe McFerrin II, President and CEO of POIC and the Rosemary Anderson High School. So we'll just to start off, and I'll keep my comments real brief. It's nice to, you know, on a daily basis, we deal with some of Portland's most at-risk youth and their families. And there isn't a day that goes by that we don't deal with some sort of difficult and sometimes even tragic situation. But it's nice and refreshing to come to a meeting like this where people in positions of leadership that impact systems are doing really good work together to make a difference in the lives of the people that we serve. So I just wanted to say that. For us, we have been a provider with Economic Opportunity Program and Work Systems for some time. What I am, and on the youth side for the most part, and I think you guys are pretty much aware of our work on the youth side, but what I'm really excited about, we have had an opportunity through this process to address homelessness with some of our young adults and some of our families as a result of this work. And it's been huge. We've been struggling with this for a very long time. But now, not only do we have a small amount of funding to dedicate to this work, we're also now a part of the network. And I think that, in a very short period of time, has really built up some capabilities within our organization. And we look forward to working with this particular project around homelessness moving forward, because there are so many of our students and families that are dealing with this issue. In our program, we serve about 2,000 participants a year. 48% are African American, 26% are Latino, and 23% are low-income white folks that we work with. So we're a pretty diverse organization. The keys to our success for us are in our core beliefs, and one of my staff person left, and it was on her shirt, but we believe that no matter what, all people have value. We believe that all people can grow, and we believe that no matter what problems they're facing, they can contribute to a thriving community. So that's kind of stems from our work. And then lastly, about our strategy, I would say it's based in trust and relationships. That's how we are able to get our young people and families moving in the right direction. And I'll tie it up there. I mean, the last thing I will say, I think this work, our core focus is to get young kids, high school age kids, who have disengaged in the educational system, get them back and inspired through education, because we know that's the key. And one of the things that we do that has proven to be most effective is offering a young person an opportunity to work. And we believe that an opportunity to work and a work experience is one of the best social service strategies that we have. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Thanks to all of you. Hello. And again, if you could just state your name for the record, that'd be great. Don't know who wants to go first.
Okay, I guess I'll go first. We're all a little nervous.
So
I just thank you guys for your time. I know it's been a very long day, and I think it's very important for you guys to understand what all these numbers and all these programs really mean. And for myself, and I know I was down here, I believe back in September, to speak to you on behalf of the CBA and what that program has meant to me. So if you remember some of that, then some of this will be repeated for you about my history. But to understand what I'm going to say, you have to understand where I came from. I was a youth. I started running away at the age of 11. I come from an abusive background, primarily my mother. I'm a firstborn generation here in the United States. My father is from La Piedad, Michoacan. So you can understand that just growing up in a very diverse home was a struggle to begin with. I have other siblings. I moved all over Washington State and Oregon for probably the course of nine and a half years. Within that time, I ended up here in Portland with a family member at the age of 14. Within 6 months, because of all the abuse and trauma, and there was no services at that time to reach out to kids that were victims of child abuse and those kinds of traumas. So I was left to the street, so to speak. Within 6 months of being here in Portland with a cousin, I was forced into the lifestyle of prostitution, which is a huge thing that's going on. I know that the city of Portland is doing a lot on behalf of child trafficking. But from that, I ended up as a 17-year-old mother. And then by the time my daughter was 2 years old, that lifestyle really had its grip on me. And during a transaction on the street, it ended in somebody losing their life and me going away to prison for 16 and a half years at the age of 19. You can imagine the devastation. You can imagine a 19-year-old kid, what I barely had my GED. I didn't think I was very smart. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. and when I went to prison, I thought my life was over. The custody of my child went to the state of Oregon, where she ended up going through 27 foster homes. So while I was incarcerated, I decided that I was going to do whatever it took for when I got out to have a life. I knew I was going to be 35 years old, but I knew that I wanted a life, and I knew that life wasn't going to come easy. I knew that schooling was probably going to be hard. It was going to come at a cost that I had no idea how I was going to be able to ever pay it back entering that field at the age of 35. So some programs come into the facility. I'm also part Cherokee Indian, so I started attending Native services where our volunteer, Trisha Jordan, through Red Lodge, brought in the Oregon tradeswomen, which you guys have heard of. In what's really awesome is they have a great career fair coming up this weekend, which is pretty cool. And when she brought them in, I suddenly realized, wait a minute, there's a program out there, and they're looking at me, and they say that I can do it. Well, beyond that, what else is it going to take? I had no idea how to live a normal, healthy life. And when you do 16 and a half years within the prison walls, they have programs set up to bring you on what they call a field trip into the community for a day to start maybe seeing where you're going to be housed or what kind of programs or services might be there for you. I had no idea of any services. Southeast Worksource Center, which is also another program that is very vital to the community of Portland, I visited them on this day trip, and I honestly thought that all they were was a temporary connecting just for temporary day jobs. That's what I thought they were. Well, that changed very quickly when I went in there and I met with Cindy Pollard, who was just very genuinely compassionate and just really wanting to figure out what it was going to take to help me move forward. And she knew I had talked to her about the Oregon tradeswomen, and she said, okay, that's one step, but how are we going to get there before that? What are the steps that are going to take? And you talk about wraparound services, and there's a saying where it says that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it also takes a village to raise a person that comes from destruction and comes from a place of incarceration for such a long period of time, who really wants to strive and really wants a better life. And when I started meeting with Cindy once I paroled, I was housed downtown at the Estates, and I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's right in the heart of homelessness. A lot of drug use, a lot of prostitution, a lot of pimps are down there. I mean, it's just like a really horrible atmosphere. And so that was a huge stress when you're getting out of prison after such a long time. And how are you going to find stable work? And how are you going to be able to do that with a clear mind when your housing is so, it's a chaos. It's a destruction. Well, through Southeast Worksource Center and through the Oregon tradeswomen, they also connected me with Human Solutions, who was also up on the board, who they helped me get into housing and get my first apartment ever at the age of 35, which is really crazy, but very cool. But these programs and what Cindy does and the connections that she makes, like, I remember one day I went down there and I had no money. I was waiting to get a call back from a flagging company, and I thought there was no hope, there was nothing, and I broke down in her office. I didn't even have an appointment. I just showed up because I was so stressed out. And she said, let's make a phone call. And sure enough, this company had forgotten to call me back, and I started working right away within a few days. And that company, and with the help of Cindy, they navigated and helped me be able to work and make wages to where I could complete the Oregon Tradeswomen program, which is 8 weeks long. And then from there, the Oregon Tradeswomen helped me get in. They have direct entry into apprenticeship programs if you complete their program. And I got a direct entry into Northwest Local 29 Ironworkers. So I'm a very proud to sit here and say that I'm a female ironworker, and I'm out there doing what guys say that we can't do. And beyond that, I'm sitting here before you with housing, with a vehicle, with a job, with support services and people that I can go back to at any time, coming from a place of incarceration, but merely, I think it's about 8.5 months ago, I was released. And it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the funding that goes into these programs. It's not just only one program or only one other program. These people are like the umbrella and has all these like antennas out there that reach out and figure out what it is going to take to help somebody like myself succeed and become a contributing member of society. Like when I filed my taxes, I was so excited that I didn't get any money back because I was paying my taxes. I mean, that's a good feeling for somebody like myself. So I just thank you for your time, and I just really hope that what I've said to you here today, that you really, you know, reflect on it and really understand the importance of that money going into a program like this. So thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. That really does remind us why we work so hard and why we this is such an important program to fund. Could you tell me your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Crystal Magania.
Crystal, I think you should be very proud, and I'm very happy that this program has helped you. Look forward to future updates as well as you continue to in your career.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Okay, I want to start off with that I'm happy to be here. So my name is Anna Felix, and I'm 25 years old. I was born in Guatemala and raised in Portland, Oregon. So I came to the U.S. when I was 1 year old. My parents lost many family in the Civil War, which was in 1992. And so that's why they came here to the United States to escape and came to the U.S. for safety. So I have never been back to Guatemala, so I don't know how it looks. I never been there before. And I would someday love to go back and visit and be there. But I am happy that I was raised here in Portland. You know, Portland is my home. I would never want to leave Portland. So I graduated from PYC, Rosemary Anderson High School, in 2013. So PYC is different from my former high schools because the teachers, the career coaches, even the principal made sure that every student was doing well in classes and attending class every day. And I remember when one of my career coaches, he came to my house and was yelling from outside, telling me to get to school. And that showed me that how much they care about my education and my future. And I am grateful for that as well. So in 2011, I was a new mom to a little boy. And PYC helped me with parenting skills and the importance of how to care for kids. They were also able to provide clothing, toys, and books for the child. And also, this past fall, PYC helped me get involved in a healthcare bridge program and supported me with an internship at Providence. I'm currently still attending PCC right now at Cascade. So thanks to PYC career coaches for helping me get back into school and supporting me and helping me with homework and standing by my side. So, and I am going to school for surgical technician. And the reason I want to be a surgical technician because I was inspired by a surgical tech.
What kind of technician?
Surgical tech.
Oh, surgical.
Surgical tech, yes. And I was inspired by a surgical technician that I met during my internship at Providence, and she was the sweetest person ever. And she gave me advice on the career. She helped me, and she loves it, and it's the perfect fit for her, so which inspired me greatly. So I looked into the surgical technician to see if I like it, and I did. And this is what I want to do, and I know I want it. And I want to end it with, without PYC, I wouldn't be here today giving a speech, because they helped me so much with everything, with scholarships, making sure I'm doing good, keeping in touch with me. And yeah, they've been there for me. They've been helping me. No matter who you are, why you are, they want to help you. It doesn't matter where you come from.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We sure appreciate you being here today. Yes. Thank you for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Janae De La Rosa, and I'm actively involved in the Human Solutions and WorkSource program.
I'm sorry, could you move the mic just a little closer? Thank you. That's perfect.
I'm actively involved with Human Solutions and WorkSource, the Pathways to Success program. I was at a very unstable place in my life. I had very unstable housing, and I had a very poor-paying job and did not know where I was going to go, or I thought I was going to end up homeless. That's really where I was, on the verge of that. And I got involved with the program, and they provided for me training as a CNA to start. I've completed all of my training through them. They've also helped me get into my own apartment. I've already got I started in October, and I've already got a better paying job. And I take my boards this week, actually. I'm very excited. I have a lot of support through them, and my life has changed dramatically, becoming self-sufficient and looking to become an LPN. I'll start tutoring with that. They provide the academic navigator for my placement out at Mount Hood. I just can't really say enough. I mean, I really was, without their programs and without their funding and without their help, I would have been another statistic, you know. But they really have inspired me and given me the motivation that I know I'll succeed. And within 24 months, I'll be a very happy nurse working in hospice. And I know I'll do it. And so I just wanted to come and let you know that their programs are working and to keep funding them.
Thank you. And congratulations to
Thank
you. That's
you.
Great.
Thank you.
That's great. All three of you. Thank you. We really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Muhammad Muhibullah. I'm working at now Belkada Packaging Company. My position is like forklift operator. So I came like last year from Burma from to Portland. So last year when I arrived here, I'm looking for job and training. I have to 10 years forklift experience. So ERCO helped me to find good job. Now I have better job that pay well. I use my skill and my work, and I feel good about my children's future. So Lisa and Surya give me information of different job and also help with interview skill and saving many workloads and time management. So they help me with resume interview training, career coaching, job application, and also with driver license. So they help me with time management, what it is, and also saving money for future. So they also help a lot of time with my, sometimes I have problems, so they help also my personal trouble. So I want city to keep helping EOP program, so the people like me who are new to America can give good job and support. It also helps us to be financially stable. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your being here.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Igor Protsenko.
Welcome.
Excuse me for my English. I live in Portland in the United States 11 months.
Welcome.
I have big family. I have 8 children and 8 grandchildren. Yeah. We came to the United States 11 months ago from Ukraine as refugees. I did not have any English skills. I started looking for a job, but could not find anything. I have many years of experience in construction. Impact Northwest recommended Pathways to Success program at Human Solutions. Right after I was enrolled in November of 2016, I received help with my resume writing and interview skills. I was referred to paid work experience program with the goal to work as a maintenance. The specialist from Human Solutions was in contact with my supervisor to ensure I stay with the employer after my paid work experience is over. I was also referred to EOP rental assistance program and received some help with my rent. I was hired as a full-time payment maintenance in March of 2017. I'm very happy what I'm doing. I make decent money and can feed my big family. Please always fund program like this. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I have to say that your English is very good after 11 months.
Good afternoon. My name is Fatmata. I'm from Africa, West Africa, Sierra Leone to be precise. When we came to America, we were living in Philadelphia. But we moved to Portland with my husband almost 2 years. But we were finding difficult for looking for job, finding ways and means for go to school with all our age. Because like back in Africa, you have your family, you're no more going to school. But this is the country that they give opportunity to every life, no matter your age, either your color. So when we came to Portland, we met with ARCO, the organization, and they really helped us a lot with my husband. They fund my husband to go to school to do his CNA, and they fund me too to do my CNA too. And they are going out looking for other ways and means to help us in our English learning and even our computer skills. So we really appreciate this program, and we are pleading for you to continue supporting us, supporting other people who are in need of help. And right now, we just brought our children, and they opened their doors, their hands to help them too. So we really appreciate whatever they are doing for us and the support you guys are giving to them. So I want to thank you for everything.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your testimony.
Yeah.
Very good. And Andrew, I just want to do a time check. How many more people do we have presenting?
You may be on the...
That's it?
We're done.
All right. Well, do you want to do a quick wrap-up here?
Sure. And appreciate all the people that came out today. I think they provided, you know, what else can you say?
I want to thank you all for your testimony today. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it. Sorry.
It's just the stories are extraordinary, and I think the success is evident. And it's complicated to put this stuff together, but it's worth it in the end. And I think we've really laid the groundwork that you all can be proud of. And we're really eager to continue to build on this and happy to support whatever other initiatives you like to see us engage in. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
I'm just so happy with this presentation and how your organization in the city is partnering with so many other community organizations. I remember in one of the early years of Mayor Sam Adams's tenure, you and I were on a frantic phone call late at night and wondering if Commissioner Loretta Smith was going to be able to help. And it felt like we were cobbling together things during the recession, and yet now we've got this wonderful program with so many partners. And, you know, just it does my heart good to know what you're doing and that this is such a firm foundation that you've developed the partnerships with so many others. And not only Mayor Adams, but also Mayor Hales and Patrick Quinton before Kimberly Branham and now Mayor Wheeler. We all know what we're doing. We know why we're doing it. I just wish more people had been here this afternoon, because that's what I came to America for, was to have those opportunities. And I really appreciate you doing this presentation.
Thank if you. I could just, Mayor, just two quick comments. Sure. And I know it's been a very, very long day, and I want to thank everyone for their patience. You know, these economic opportunity programs used to be in the Housing Bureau. And when we took the housing money out of PDC and created a new Portland Housing Bureau, it was at that time that then-Mayor Adams made the decision to put the programs in PDC and try to harness the power of the economic development side of the ledger. And I had the same misgivings about doing that I later had when we proposed taking some of the homeless services out of the Housing Bureau and migrating them to the county. And it wasn't because I was reluctant to consider ways of better aligning or streamlining or delivering services. It's that I thought the values proposition of these two things were crucial to the Housing Bureau's sort of mission. And I didn't want to lose the sort of soul. And it turns out I think both decisions were the right ones. What the Economic Opportunities Initiative needed was a clear strategic focus, so it wasn't just opportunistic, and it needed to be aligned with other programs, and we need to be more rigorous about outcomes. And that's what you've demonstrated. And I would just end on a political note, since today we learned that the Justice Department has appointed a special prosecutor to investigate the president. I would say that the cloud on the horizon is how we fund these programs. And we are somewhat out of step with other cities, because community development block grants, as we know, are very flexible dollars, can be used for lots of kinds of things. They can be used for economic development. They can be used for community building. They can be used for many things, which is why they are prized dollars. The president's proposed budget cuts the heart out of the CDBG program. And so the next time someone says to you, what does community development block grant mean to our community, tell them about this hearing. Tell them about creating opportunity for people. Tell them about building structures and clinics and investing in things, because that's what it means. So it would not be my first choice of where we cut at the federal level. So thank you for an outstanding presentation.
Great. I'll add my chorus to this. Thank you again for your patience. I know we made you wait about an hour longer than you had expected. But you got to see that scintillating budget hearing.
It's awesome.
So at any rate, thank you. This is an exciting, exciting set of programs. And again, the partnership is the key point for me. So again, let's keep it going. Let's keep building it. Let's keep innovating and thinking of ways that we can strengthen it even more for the future. Thank you. If there is nothing more for the good of the order, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that was...